Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
The age-old question.
Here's John Williams.
Is what did they know and when did they know it? This is John. It's 108. I'm in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, downtown Chicago. And you know what? The sky is blue. The sun is shining. There's some white clouds. If you didn't know, you wouldn't know that it's going to snow. How much? Maybe, Kim, 10 inches of snow coming?
We're looking at 10 at the top, yeah.
Dang, girl.
It's going to be a lot.
Chance of precipitation later on this afternoon and evening is 100%. It's going to snow.
And, John, just to let people know that, you know, the closings and delays are all coming in, and people can get all the emergency closings at our closing center at WGNradio.com. So it's a good place to check.
In that case, let's go ahead and play the song in 3, 2, 1, woof.
Snow, snow,
snow,
snow,
snow.
It won't be long before it'll be there with snow.
Snow,
snow,
snow.
I want to wash my hands, my face and hair with snow.
That's the dumbest line of the whole song. Nobody wants to wash their hands and hair and face in snow.
I long to clear a path and lift a spade of snow.
To see a great big man entirely made of snow.
You know, the kind of snow you like is like maybe an inch or two. That's enough to wet your whistle. The kids can sled and it doesn't disrupt life. Then 3, 4, 5, 6, that's just a pain in the butt. And you really don't get much more bang for your buck. But then if you get 10 inches of snow, it's you and the neighbors out there doing work. It's communal. 10 inches.
And it's bragging rights.
Totally, totally.
You're it's not like, gonna, oh, you know what I had to deal with?
10 inches of snow. But if you call your friends in Milwaukee, well, it wouldn't be Milwaukee. They'd get the same thing usually. But, you know, Atlanta, you know, we got 4 inches of snow. We've all been to that movie. 10 inches gets it done. So I want 2 inches or 10 inches of snow. I don't need any of these little numbers in between.
Right, because it's not enough to complain about.
Right, right. Right, that's at least my theory about snow.
And I think the song was being ironic.
I do not. Back it up again. Let's start it from the top.
No one wants to wash their hands and face in snow, and no one wants to shovel snow.
Snow,
snow. It won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
They're anxious to go to
snow.
Snow.
Right.
But they opened up the inn. They needed snow for the inn.
Listen for the irony in this line. Here we go.
Snow, I long to clear a path and lift a spade of snow.
Definitely wants to do that.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, of course he does. You haven't seen the movie.
You got to see the movie, Violetta.
I don't even know what movie it is.
Oh, Lord. Why am I talking to you about this?
Snow, where it's snowing.
I don't believe you.
There's this movie, it's called White Christmas.
Oh, right.
And you know, when I get to be king, and this is true. You know, sometimes I kid about, when I get to be king. When I get to be king, some things are going to happen. You're all going to have to watch some movies. You're going to have to watch White Christmas. If you don't, we're going to have a...
You're going to have to shovel everyone's driveway?
No, then you will have to leave now. And there's another movie you're going to have to see. The Graduate?
I saw that.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? 2001 A Space Odyssey. Wow, John, are those in black and white? It's part of our culture. It's part of our fabric. If someone says plastics, you need to know what that meant and why it meant something.
What about no metal hangers? Is that a thing?
I don't know what movie that one is.
Oh.
What movie is that?
I don't know, but someone said that to me and told me I was supposed to know what that is.
Yeah.
It's like in the... She's a mother, and she's, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I know the movie you're speaking about. That's Joan Crawford, and it's Mommy Dearest.
Yes, Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest. It's 112 on WGN Radio. I just want to run through this John Kelly story just briefly. It's more a story for Steve right now. We can talk about it throughout the day today. I'll bet Roe and the gang will talk about it, and it's just not going to go away. A lot of us thought that John Kelly would rub off on Donald Trump. But it appears in some ways like maybe Donald Trump is running off more than we would like on
Or
John
they were
Kelly.
Simpatico from the beginning.
Sure. What did we know about John Kelly except that he was a decorated Marine general and he seemed to be the guy that was going to bring order to the White House? But now it appears that Kelly knew about the allegations of domestic violence against the president's secretary and they didn't do anything about this Rob Porter guy. Now, this story is unfolding before your ears, so if some of this proves to be more complicated than it sounds, then of course we'll listen to it and report that as well. But this from CNN today, sources say senior aides knew for months about the allegations, did not address them, and in fact actively promoted Porter, who became a key figure in the White House before he resigned over these allegations, while protesting that they did not tell the whole story. That's what Porter says. In fact, Porter says, and I don't know exactly how this helps, but it's just weird. He said that picture you're seeing on the internet of his former girlfriend with the black and yellow eye, he took that picture. I don't know how that happens and what that means. But if it happened, I don't really care who took the picture. I care who threw the punch. Anyway, when the controversy exploded this week, Kelly's reaction came across as jarring and insufficient, especially at a time when American and political public life is being reshaped by revelations of abuse and sexual harassment. Kelly said, "Rob Porter is a man of true integrity and honor, and I cannot say enough good things about him. He is a friend, a confidant, and a trusted professional. I am proud to serve alongside him." That was the original statement from Kelly. He, like Mitch McConnell and others, reshaped their statements about him after more facts came to light. The president evidently didn't know about this until the last 48 hours. That is the record against this young man. And his daughters ticked about it, too. One senator, a Democrat, said if Kelly knew about this all along and did nothing about it, then he has to go as well. There's been suggestions since the first of the year that Kelly isn't long for this White House anyway. But as soon as that came out, both sides dismissed that as fake news. And those allegations had nothing to do with whether or not he knew about Rob Porter. Yesterday, you didn't know who Rob Porter was. So we'll see what happens on that story. We also had an interesting conversation last week. I don't know if you heard it, but we're going to try and readdress the issue at the same time. And that's in 20 minutes. We had a representative from a think tank in Washington about immigration, about the four stools of the president's plan and what are we going to do about it. And speaking of John Kelly is the reason that a lot of these immigrants haven't signed up for the DACA program because they were afraid or just too lazy to, in his words, get off their ass and do something about that. So we're going to just replay a couple of clips from that conversation and ask another person who studies this, originally a conservative view, now a liberal view about it, and we'll just sort of do the yin and yang on this topic in the next half hour, particularly in light of what the administration was saying about the people that had not signed up. And finally, Tom Skilling's going to join us in the next hour. We will talk to him a little bit about this snow. One quick thing about Violetta Powder Medic, who does traffic. We don't have her picture up today, but we should do this tomorrow. Steve, did you see Violetta today? Have you bumped into her in the halls?
I saw her in the newsroom earlier. She got here early.
Did you see her glasses?
I noticed she was wearing glasses.
So yeah. I said, Violetta, are you wearing glasses because you normally wear contacts? I haven't seen these glasses before. Violetta, why don't you pick the story up from here?
I told you no, these are an accessory.
Those are cosmetic glasses with clear lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody that wears glasses...
Look, I've got a knee brace on.
No, that's not an accessory. I'm trying to think of a good example. I know that there's one out there.
There isn't one.
No, there is. There definitely is.
It's okay, A.
And a scarf?
Have you seen my hearing aids, John? How do they look?
It's a scarf. No, it's totally that. It's a scarf. Sometimes, look, I wear cufflinks and I'm wearing a necktie. I don't have to do that either. So I don't mind accessorizing, but clear glasses is...
It gives you a completely different look.
And what kind of look does it give you?
Well, it just makes when you're not feeling like maybe putting makeup on, you can put your glasses on.
Yeah.
Even if they're fake.
Well, I said to Adam Hogue, who recently had LASIK but still likes to wear glasses, that if I ever got LASIK, I would continue to wear glasses, maybe with clear lenses, because it's been told to me by my family that when I don't wear glasses, I have the face of a mole. And so glasses help me, kind of hiding the shape of my face and, frankly, the absence of hair above my upper lip. But anyway, so I understand the desire to kind of reshape what you look like with accessorized glasses.
It's just a different look. You know, every day you feel different. Sometimes you want to wear glasses.
I think it makes us all look a little smarter.
Yes. That doesn't hurt. Get a little more.
It's 1:18. The picture, and I think the most important question to ask about this, we'll answer it tomorrow, is which look is better? That will be tomorrow on Facebook. Kate Schwartz joins us in a minute. She's an attorney with Amy Smith and Sean Moore. Those are those two people living on Lower Wacker Drive who are on the front page of today's Chicago Tribune. Homeless people that live on Lower Wacker Drive are suing the city. Why? What's their defense? We'll get that next from Kate on WGN. Front page of the Chicago Tribune today has a story about a homeless couple suing the city. Not just because they're homeless and don't have maybe other opportunities that they'd like, but because when the city evicts them from Lower Wacker Drive, they throw away their stuff. We tried to find them. They were not available. Kate Schwartz is their attorney, though. Their names are Amy Smith and Sean Moore, and she joins us now on WGN. Thanks for joining us, Kate. How are you today?
My pleasure. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Where are they right now?
You know, we actually would prefer not to talk about our client's current location because of the fact, in part, that as our complaint alleges, the city has, you know, made it their seemingly mission to seek our clients out where they are and discriminate against them and harass them. And so it's really best for our clients if we don't disclose that information.
You've all said that they've been targeted. They certainly feel that way. Why are they homeless?
You know, their personal circumstances surrounding why they have come to be homeless varies for each of them and is really irrelevant to what the city is doing. Why somebody is homeless doesn't matter. What matters is that once somebody is struggling with homelessness, the city does not have the right to treat them any differently than any other person. Because of a law that protects their rights, which is called the Illinois Bill of Rights for the Homeless Act. And that is why that's the basis for this lawsuit.
I looked at that. I'm not an attorney, but it doesn't seem to me like it specifically addresses their situation. They need to be afforded the same rights as people who have more traditional dwellings. But it doesn't say, can you throw away their stuff if they're living under Lower Wacker Drive? That's at issue here, right? That when the city evicts them, if you will, they also dispose of their tents and stuff. Isn't that it?
That's part of it. They have repeatedly thrown away both the tents that they're living in as well as various personal belongings, everything ranging from, you know, basic necessities like clothing and food to you know, irreplaceable items of sentimental value like family photographs of deceased family members that can't be replaced. But it's not limited to that. Unfortunately, they've also repeatedly threatened to arrest them when they were not doing anything wrong, told them that they need to leave public areas when they were not doing anything illegal, and made derogatory comments to them about their housing status. So, you know, it's really, in this case, a pattern of ongoing targeted harassment.
Do they have the right to live under Lower Wacker Drive?
They do. They have the right to be homeless, in essence. You know, there is no law making it illegal to be homeless, and there's no law that says that if you are homeless, you have to stay in one place as opposed to another place. Our clients have deliberately sought out very secluded areas where there really are no pedestrians, often not even any sidewalks. They want to be left alone. They're not trying to be in anyone's way. And yet it's city workers who are the only people really that they end up encountering because the city workers are going out and looking for them. In one instance, Amy actually ran into one of the named officers in a 7-Eleven, and the officer asked where she was staying, and Amy said, you know, I don't have to disclose that to you. And the officer said, that's all right, we'll come find you. You know, that's really disturbing. That shows that the city was after them. And a lot of the comments they've made have indicated that their housing status is the reason for that.
Kate Schwartz is an attorney with Hughes, Sokol, Piers, Resnick, Dim, LTD. Is that the right names of all the people in your firm there?
That is correct, yep.
Real quick, so what's the nature of the suit then? How much are you suing the city for?
So the nature of the suit, we're seeking a number of different things. We're seeking declaratory relief, injunctive relief, and monetary damages. So we've alleged an amount in excess of $75,000 to compensate them for the number of harms that this has caused them. But we're also asking a court to declare that the various actions the city has taken violates this law, and additionally asking a court to order the city to stop doing various things because of the fact that it violates that law.
I understand that, and I have more sympathy for them than it's about to sound. Here's my problem, though, with people living on Lower Wacker Drive or under the viaduct, say, of Wilson or some of the streets that go under Lakeshore Drive. And that is, I don't know who those people are. I don't know what their intentions are. It's not a safe or healthy place to live for them. And sometimes they're in the way of either me, my bicycle, or my automobile. So I don't think they should be down there. I don't think they should be allowed to live down there. Your thought about that?
Well, you know, as far as it being scary or uncomfortable for other people, that may be the case for some people, but that doesn't give the city a basis to treat homeless people the way that the city has been treating our clients. And, you know, the Bill of Rights for the Homeless Act, which this lawsuit is raised under, recognizes that homelessness is unfortunately a reality in this state. It says that it's the longstanding policy of the state of Illinois that nobody should be subjected to unfair discrimination based on his or her homeless status. You know, that is a reality in this state. There are going to be people struggling with that.
Yeah.
And what the city should be doing is trying to offer these people assistance to help them get to a place where they're able to find affordable housing, as opposed to, you know, harassing them and making it a point to try to make their lives more difficult. That's specifically what this law tries to prevent against.
Kate Schwartz represents a couple living in Lower Wacker Drive. The city not only evicts them, they throw their stuff away. They're looking for $75,000 plus. It's nice to talk to you, Kate. Let's follow this story and visit again, if you don't mind.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, I didn't ask Elif to do this. I don't know if you can do this, Elif. Can you play Snow, 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 Snow? It won't, that song, because 10 to 14 inches. We don't have that specifically yet, like More by the Lake, but presumably it is, although it's heading towards the northeast.
Yeah, don't make that assumption.
Snow, right. Snow, snow.
When you leave the Blackhawks game this evening, Roe, Anna, Violetta, Kevin, the whole gang will be out there.
Snow.
7:30, the puck drops. You're getting out of there around 10 o'clock to maybe 10:30. It'll be snowing hard. That's about 100% guaranteed.
Oh, I long to clear a path.
And 10 to 14 inches of snow are possible in this event that'll go through tomorrow.
It brings us all closer together.
I think it does. We started the show talking about this, that 2 inches of snow is fine, and then anything between 2 and 10 is just annoying. Then 10 to 14, it's you and your neighbor fighting the good fight.
The Hawks are home again next Thursday, so maybe you just want to stay.
They got enough food, and it's still like, it's a beer fest, so just stay. Don't even leave. Hawks versus Dallas. And then your mind goes here. Well, Dallas, that's a southern city, so they won't be able to deal with the cold. Never mind that the players are all from Canada and it's indoors. But, I mean, when you come out of the United Center tonight, you'll be dusting your windshield off. The Bulls are in town tomorrow night. And hopefully, since I've got tickets to that game, the snow will have at least stopped and passage will be okay. last week, or no, was it early this week? We talked to an expert on immigration after the president, in his State of the Union address, put out the four planks of his plan for how to deal with DACA, how to deal with legal and illegal immigration in this country. There were 4 points, and we were going over it with somebody who is on the conservative view of this sort of thing. She was terrific. She was reasonable, and she sure seemed to have her facts and numbers down. But at the end of the interview, I thought, okay, that's one view of it, and it was pretty positive about what the president is promoting. I think her only real problem with it was that it was maybe a little too generous. It could have been even stricter. And so I thought, okay, what is the other side of that coin? The director of research at the American Immigration Council is Guillermo Cantor, and he joins us now on WGN. Guillermo, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
I got a lot of weather to talk about here, so let's very quickly talk to you and make as much ground or headway as we can. I sent you that interview that we did last week or earlier this week. You heard it, right?
I did, yes.
and in general, was I misled or what did you think about that?
Well, there are so many things I could talk about, but yes, we definitely do not share most of those views, and even the data, I feel, was somewhat mischaracterized and limited in understanding what's at stake here. And I think that the most important thing to do at this time, when you're thinking about how our immigration system can work better, is to tackle this from a philosophical perspective first. It's like, what is it that we are trying to do with the immigration system? And then think about the specific tactics that would help you get there.
Well, what do you think we should have as an overarching policy about immigration? Answer your own question.
Oh, well, so a couple of things, and I think I'm going to refer to like the main issues that are being discussed right now. I think that legal immigration is definitely one of those areas that need to be discussed, but the discussion should not be about whether to keep or not certain categories of our immigration system as they exist today, but basically to have this more fundamental discussion about how is it that, why is it that we have an immigration system, and what do we want this system to achieve? So, for example, any country admits immigrants or foreign nationals who are seeking residence in its territory to respond to it because of a number of reasons. One could be because the country wants to recruit immigrants as workers, sometimes to deal with some labor shortages in particular industries. There are humanitarian reasons why countries admit immigrants, including the U.S. And there is one reason why they do that, which has to do with the fact that a lot of members of the country, citizens and residents, want to reunite with some family members. So the U.S. has addressed some of these issues with the current immigration system, but there are...
Okay, hold on. Hold on for a second. So now you're referencing chain migration. The plan will limit that, as I understand it, but it won't eliminate it. That is, you would still be able to bring your spouse and your kids and your parents over under the president's proposal. Am I right about that?
I think it's just spouses and minor children. I think those are the only categories that will remain, and the current system has some other categories as well.
Well, one of the points that our previous guest made was that too many of the immigrants, if you will, say you have a limited number of people that you want to allow into your country, too many of them have been coming from Mexico and India, just literally a few countries, and that we should try and find a way to maybe diffuse that. What is your thought about that?
Well, what happened after 1965, in 1965, when this law that we have today was became the law of the land. So after then, the migration was largely coming from certain regions in the world, certainly Mexico and Asia. Latin America and Asia became the two main regions from which immigrants come today. However, there is component of the system, that is the diversity visa, which specifically aims at fixing this imbalance and allowing people from countries that send very few immigrants to the United States to be able to have an opportunity. And this works through a lottery system. My understanding is that your speaker last week was very critical of this, if anything.
Well, I'll play your soundbite for her. I'll play her soundbite for you. Here, let's do it now. Let's just walk through a couple of the things that our guest said, and we'll get to that point in just a minute. First, she talked about what are the most important pillars of the president's plan. LFS is cut 7. Here are, she said, the two pillars that need the most attention.
The two pillars that make the most sense together are the amnesty for at least some of the Dreamers, paired with cuts to chain migration to offset those numbers.
Your thought about that?
Sure. So, yeah, no, evidently the issue with the Dreamers is a problem that the president created by terminating DACA a few months ago, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, that was a temporary fix to that issue. So now, yes, the president is saying that we need to have a solution on that, but the solution comes with a lot of conditions that are really changing dramatically the way in which some components of the immigration system work today. So I have to say that I completely disagree that the price for getting reform or some sort of a relief for this population, for the Dreamers, or like a Dream Act that would give them a path for to citizenship, would be to eliminate categories of family-based immigration. And I'm saying that because we were in this situation in 1986, in which there was an amnesty indeed. There was a program that legalized several million people that who were current at the time undocumented in the country. But and that came with border enforcement and some other mechanisms to ensure that new undocumented immigrants would not come. So what happened is that that system did not have any component that would create a legal pathway for those who would be attracted to migrate to the United States and for whom there would be jobs available. And so these people ended up coming anyway, and they came through, you know, unauthorized channels. So what happens is that if you don't have in the system components that would allow people who are needed as workers in the United States, in particular industries, they heavily rely on migrant labor. And so if you don't have a channel for these people to come legally, you are, you know, indirectly creating the incentive for people to...
Yeah, I understand that. That's where we are now. Okay, but she actually talked about that. This is cut 8, Elif. The people who she said would... And this is Jessica Vaughn. She was with the Center for Immigration Studies. She still is. She was on with us earlier. She says, here are the people who will benefit the most from the president's reforms.
People who are struggling, who for whatever reason haven't had a lot of higher education, who are working in jobs where they have not seen much of a pay increase over the years, like construction and food processing and landscaping. A lot of these jobs are also taken by illegal immigrants or new immigrants. There needs to be some relief for them as well.
She's talking about U.S. citizens and residents here. We can't just let this cheap labor keep pouring in, keeping wages depressed and taking jobs. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think that's a mischaracterization of what's actually happening. Well, I completely agree that, you know, people who are in that situation, less educated, native-born Americans who are working in or who are, like, having trouble finding jobs should be, you know, a target of, like, specific policies that could help them secure the education they need or programs that help them find the jobs or get the training for the jobs that they could do. That's essential, but that's a different issue. I think that if you look at the research that has been done on migrant labor and how it relates to the native-born population, what you see is that to a large extent they complement each other because they are, for the most part, located in different industries. So it is not there are some industries you can talk to employers that have experienced shortages for a very long time. So I think that a good solution there is to have more information and to have a system that would attract the workers and allow the workers that the economy needs when the economy is growing and is creating jobs that cannot be filled with native-born labor, then the system should expand. And then if there is a period of recession or in which the economy is not creating new jobs, then the system should contract accordingly. So the current system doesn't have any of that flexibility to adjust to the economic cycle. And I think that would be a wise solution, a solution that would be based on evidence and not just on prejudice or like preconceptions about how immigrants are affecting the
economy. Guillermo, I have less than a minute left, but the chief of staff for the president said that a lot of these people who aren't availing themselves of the system that's in place were either too afraid of the system or too lazy to actually take advantage of it. What do you have to say about that?
So who was he talking specifically about?
John Kelly said that these people who aren't signing up for the DACA, Steve, help me with it. They aren't signing up for the, Steve's doing something right now. They're too lazy to get off their ass and actually participate in the program. If
you're talking about like people who are eligible for DACA who have not applied?
Correct.
So a lot of people have applied. We have like hundreds of thousands of individuals who have applied, but the program has been terminated by the president. It has been rescinded a few months ago. And so what happens is that there is some extension until March, but after that, day after day, some people are getting off status of the program. So I don't see that that's an accurate statement. A lot of people have signed up for this program, have trusted the program, and then now they're very concerned. They're very worried about what can happen to them if there is not a legislative solution for their situation.
We'll follow that there. Guillermo, thanks for your time this afternoon. He is the Director of Research at the American Immigration Council in Washington, D.C. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's 151, Dow going down. Possible weather, snow accumulations going up. Tom Skilling's going to give us a broader look at what exactly you can think is what he thinks might happen after the 2 o'clock news. It's 1:52 on WGN.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Like,
here's John Williams.
Every day it's 2:09. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase. Now it's 4:08. Now it's 13:22. I'm telling you, it gets warm in these studios sometimes, and then the equipment shuts down. But we don't, and the nice thing about us is we really don't bring it up. You'll never hear us say a coarse word about the conditions. Meanwhile, there's somebody in a sad part of the world going, really? It's warm in your studio, and that's a problem how? So here's page 2-3, actually, of the Chicago Tribune today in the Chicago Inc. column. They talk about the ad that everybody is talking about these days, and that is that campaign that Jeannie Ives is running. She wants to not only be governor, she's got to get through the incumbent Republican. She's running against Bruce Rauner, and her latest campaign commercial sounds like this.
Stay tuned for a special message.
We want to say thank you.
Thank you, Bruce Rauner.
Thank you for signing legislation that lets me use the girls' bathroom.
Me use the girls' bathroom is a person purportedly transgender. It's a woman, if you will, but it looks like a guy. Is that an actual transgender? I don't think so. I've seen plenty of transgender people. I live in Boys Town, and there's quite an audience there of people, and none of them look like that guy. But anyway, there he is with kind of a rough beard and long hair, and he says, thank you for letting me use the girls' bathroom. The story in Inc. today is that characterization is actually based on an actual individual, an attorney named Joni Ray Wimmer, who grew up male, transgendered to female, and once had to serve a subpoena to Jeannie Ives. So how do you do that? Well, you figure out where they are, and then you literally physically have to hand them the document. So Joni Ray Wimmer showed up at Jeannie Ives' house. She was put off by that. They said, that's not what a transgender looks like. And she says, oh, yes, they do. I've had one of them come to my house. And that one is evidently you. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine, John.
I hope you're enjoying your 15 minutes of fame.
Well, it's not a matter of enjoyment to me. I think that this is something that I felt a need to speak about.
Yeah, pardon me. I don't expect you would enjoy it. But in fact, as the ad plays out, none of us know that it's based on a real person. And if it is based on you, in fact, this may be a stretch, right? Well, she said that one of them came to her house. So maybe that means that's you. I don't know that that's really you that they're portraying there.
Well, I don't think it looks like me, but that's not the point. I mean, even if I did look like the person in the ad,
which you don't.
So what? I mean, why not respect me as a person and respect my human dignity? And I think what bothered me about this ad is that it's a symptom of what's going on in our country now, where it's become, I guess, socially acceptable to demonize minority groups for political advantage. And I think that's what she did here with immigrants, transgender people like me, people of color, and women who want to control their own bodies. Those were the characters that were featured along with the CEO from Exelon in the ad.
So the story says the ad shows, quote, this is Jeannie speaking, exactly what a transgender man typically looks like, I said. When an audience member challenged her, she doubled down. Sir, with all due respect, I've had them show up at my door. She later told reporters she was referring to her run-in with Wimmer, and that's you.
Well, there you go. By the way, I'm not a transgender man. I'm a transgender woman.
That's the way she put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes a lot of us struggle with the pronouns there. I suppose you understand how and why.
Sure, I do. I mean, my family has difficulty with it.
So you grew up male, were married to a woman.
Correct.
Realized later in life, maybe in your 40s, that I can't live this way. I guess she understood that too then, huh?
Yeah, the transgender feelings manifested themselves in first and second grade, but that was in the 1960s, and they didn't encourage children to be themselves back then. So I had to repress those feelings and become the best male I could be. But when I got into my 40s, I developed what they call gender dysphoria. And it got to the point that I had to transition, and I transitioned at age 53.
Jeannie Ives says that that ad is about policy. It's not about people. She's not making fun of you. She's talking about the governor's policies. What do you say to that?
Well, she is making fun of trans people, and she's also demonizing us by suggesting that we're a threat to people in the bathroom. And it's not the first time that Ms. Ives has attacked the LGBT community that way. She previously said that gay marriage was a disordered relationship and that children became objects of desire in that kind of a marriage. So she has had a tendency to demonize the LGBT community and suggest that we're dangerous people, and we're not.
She was on the phone with us a couple days ago. We were talking about this ad, and I asked her to play that out. I said, so in the case of the person representing a transgender woman, what is your fear? That guy, I think it was a guy that was playing a woman there, said, I get to go into the girl's bathroom. What's your concern? What's your fear there? Because, in fact, transgenders do, will, or have use the bathroom of their choice, maybe not of their biology. So what's your concern if, say, you, Joni, are in there? What is, I mean, listen, this is all new territory for a lot of us, but what do you think is going to happen? She didn't answer that question.
I'm sure she didn't. I mean, I've been going to the women's bathroom in the DuPage County Courthouse for 10 years, and there, of course, there have been no issues or problems. I do my business, and I leave.
So the question for a lot of us was, as we were trying to figure out, is she going to become governor or not, or even the Republican nominee is, does this work? I wonder what you think about that. Is the characterization of transgenders, as she did that person in that ad, and ostensibly you, I wonder if that's going to help her politically, or is that going to hurt her politically?
Well, I think It really relates to what our whole country's going through right now. I mean, we have a movement on the far right. We have the president banned transgender people in the military, just appointed someone to the Department of Justice whose job it is to ostensibly protect religious freedom by allowing people to discriminate against queer people. And so these are scary times to me. It's like we went back to the late 50s, early 60s when they didn't allow people of color in lunchrooms in the South. Only this time, instead of having the federal government ensure equal rights and opportunity, we have the federal government helping people to discriminate. So I think the 2018 election is very important in terms of what kind of a society we're going to have, John.
The piece of legislation that she was referring to in the ad and in the interview was a law that now in Illinois says you can more easily change your gender identity on your birth certificate. Have you done that?
I have not. I was born in Indiana, although I'm legally female under state and federal law.
And think about that. So that's the point of, I mean, that's what she's referring to. As I understand it, I'm not privy to all of her thinkings or how her campaign is working, but I believe that's what she's referencing, that in Illinois you can change your gender identity, your gender, to match your gender identity on your birth certificate.
Correct.
How that makes bathrooms for girls less safe is another matter I don't understand.
I don't understand it either.
But that was the thing. So when you first saw the ad on TV, what did you think?
Well, I was very offended by it. As I say, it's a symptom of what's going on, where there's a demonization of minority groups. We had the president call African-American athletes who protest police brutality SOBs. You know, there's a lot of marginalization and demonization of minority groups by the Republican Party at this point, and she's just a symptom of that.
She stands by the ad, and she says, it's funny, don't you get it? This is like a Saturday Night Live skit parodying the governor's own ad. But the humor's been lost on some of us. And Joni Ray Wimmer from Oak Park, or at least that's where you practice law, right?
That's correct. That's where my office is.
Is in our studio. I appreciate you coming by this afternoon. I'll let you get home before the snow starts to fall.
Well, thank you, John Williams.
Any other observations you have? I appreciate you coming into the studio today. But anything else you want to say about this controversy right now?
Well, I think it's important to speak out, because the next two elections, I think, are going to determine whether we are a community of people who care for each other and our neighbor, or whether we're going to be a society which is sort of an extreme libertarian society where everybody has to shift for themselves and it's okay to demonize small minority groups.
That's Joni Ray Wimmer in our studio. It's 219. Thanks for coming in. Is this Amy Kite on line 7?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Is that Amy Kite, the realtor that we talk about on the radio sometimes?
It is, John.
Amy, thanks for calling. What's up?
I am calling in because I hear that you are going to be doing some dancing.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So we had a conversation about this time yesterday, and Lou Manfredini was giving me tips on how to generate more money for my page. I'm doing this Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities. We just put another video up this afternoon. You can see me dancing. And then my partner and I kind of talk about how it's going. And while I'm getting okay with the dancing, I'm not getting okay with the fundraising.
Okay. You need some help there.
Yeah. I think I'm just under $700. Before we came into the studio, we were at like $657 or something like that.
Okay. And I haven't checked it recently, but I did check it earlier today.
What was it at? Like that,
it was,
right?
It was in the, yeah, it was low sixes, so you might have actually seen it right after I did.
Okay.
So I've got an idea.
All right.
I would like to match anybody who will make a contribution, let's say maybe over the next 30 minutes or so.
I'm on till 3. We've got 34 minutes.
Okay, great. So up until then, I'll match them up to $700. That means that we could literally triple what you've got in there right now.
Okay, I'm just under. Say I'm at about 700. You'll put in 700 for every dollar somebody else donates. So if they put in 700, you're at 700. That's 1,400 plus my existing 700. That would get us to 2,100. My goal's 25. So if you do 20, if you do 7, that will about get us there.
Right.
Okay, so you're good by that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Okay, so like starting right now, by the way, the video that we posted, Elif, do we have the video audio with the Blue Suede Shoes song? Hit it.
Well, it's one for the money, two for
this on my Facebook page.
You get ready now.
This is the song that I'm dancing to. And it's pretty quick.
Well, you can do anything.
And I'm doing a quick step, which, Amy, I don't know how to do very well.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, let's see, how's John going to look doing this? I think you're going to be great at it, though.
Yes. Actually, we had a long conversation about this yesterday, and the point is, I need to get a more positive attitude about this, right?
Yeah, that would help.
All right, so the only way to do this, and I'm about to give you two ways to make your donation. We will do this until 3 o'clock. This goes to breast cancer research. The dollars stay local.
My house, steal my car.
It's to go to my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. And on the top, you'll see the video, and there's a link there.
Lay over my shoes.
Or you can go to the following website and make the donation there. It's Arthur Murray Dance We Cure Cancer. That's my memory crutch for it. AMD, Arthur Murray Dance We Cure Cancer, WCC, AMDWCC.org. You can make the donation there. Okay, so I'm going to check back with you, Amy, in a little bit. Will that be okay?
Sounds great.
And 700 from you. I know that you do a lot of nice things in the community, but I don't want to make this difficult or painful for you. You're okay with this?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd be really sorry if we leave any of your money on the table. You know what I mean?
No, I will be too, doggone it. I will be so disappointed.
By the way, if we get 14 inches of snow, and we might, you're not going to be doing anything tomorrow anyway, so you might as well make a donation via your laptop, your computer, your phone, whatever. You won't be doing many showings tomorrow. Is that right, Amy?
That's correct. We will probably just be hunkered down in the house having lots of conversations tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. The snow's supposed to come later this afternoon and go through this evening into tomorrow. It's not like we don't have advanced warning. Steve, are we still calling for 10 to 14 inches?
Yes.
10 to 14 inches.
If you're lucky, you might be in a pocket where they get a little more.
I'm okay with that. Amy, yes to a lot of snow or no to a lot of snow?
You know what? I've already taken care of everything, went to the grocery store, whatever.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm not planning on going anywhere, so let it snow, let it snow.
Bring it. Okay, so
Wait.
Amy will match any donation up to $700. All you need to go to is the John Williams Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Or go directly to the site. The link is there, but you can go directly to the site if you want to skip that step. And that is, let's see, how do we do it now? Arthur Murray, AM, Dance, D, We Cure Cancer, WCC.org, AMDWCC.org. Make your donation there. We'll follow it. We'll close it at 3. Make your donation now, and Amy will match it. I'll talk to you in a couple, let's say about 20 minutes, okay, Amy?
Sounds great, John.
Let's see how you are doing. Thanks for your help in advance on this. I'm not going to read it all here, but there was an interesting article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Market swings are not the problem. You know, our friend Bob Westrick, who comes on with us from Private Vista and talks about your money. Well, we asked him about this yesterday, and he was rather nonchalant about it. And I haven't called him today. Maybe he has the same attitude. But the front page of the Wall Street Journal has Bob's attitude as well. Here's what they say. Here's sort of what he said yesterday. And again, this is before the market fell 700 more points, but they say, don't worry about stock market volatility. It is perfectly normal. Do worry about how stocks got so high to start with, because it is evidence of an economy still abnormally dependent on low interest rates and richly priced assets. The 2,271 point drop in the Dow Industrial Average in the week through Monday, a decline of 9%, did not even meet the usual 10% threshold for a correction, although I presume we'd be on the
We're
other side of that now.
We're getting close now, yeah.
Tuesday's 567 point rebound did not make the top 500 daily increases as a percentage. And they talked about why it is doing this, and they said these numbers that are scary are not the right focal point. There are things to pay attention to for sure, and they have to do with interest rates, they have to do with the jobs numbers and wages. And then they talk a little bit about that. Page one of the Wall Street Journal.
Well, I mean, everyone who knows anything has said that there's that it doesn't always go up, that there's a correction coming. Right? I mean, so we shouldn't be surprised by this.
Remember, we were over 18 when Donald Trump became president, and now we're, I presume, under 24 then, Steve?
We're still above 24. 24,110, but the Dow now is down 783 points on this day, so that's 3.1%.
One last thing about numbers. You know Amy Kite, the realtor that was on with us just a minute ago?
Yes.
She said she'd do a match. We've almost achieved her match. We were at $658 in my little basket raising money for cancer research in the Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities. I'm going to do that in March. I'm learning to dance. We're posting videos on my Facebook page. And the idea is to raise as much money when we get to this event. You all have pledged $658. Thank you for that. But then Amy comes on and says, well, I'm good for $700 if you can get $700. I'll match anything up to $700. If we can raise $500, she'll raise $500. She'll put in $500. And so far, you all went from $658 with me to $1,913. So we went up about, over $1,200 during Steve's news, and that's without Amy's $700. Hokey smokes! So if we were at 1913, we're at 1913, we're still awaiting Amy's $700, that'd put us at $2,613. Whoop, whoop, whoop. We'll talk to Amy one more time in a little bit. I so appreciate the generosity of some of our sponsors that step up like that, and just like that, we hit our goal. How about them apples? Thank you for your donations. What have you got in there?
We're actually at 2103 now. And that's in the last 5 minutes.
Lou Manfredini, it's too easy. It's not easy at all. Some of the donations have been, some of them have been $7. Some of them, a friend of mine in Minneapolis donated $18. I said, why did you donate $18? She said, I'm Jewish. That's a lucky number. Mazel.
Yep, so, with an eight.
So keep them coming. We're at 2103. Let's see how high we can get by 3 o'clock. We'll post more videos and see if we can find more matchers. Tom Skilling over at WGN-TV is watching the forecast. Inch totals are going up while the market goes down. Tom, thanks for jumping in here. How are you?
John, I am doing well, and thanks very much. We've been going back and forth with your producer on this, and I apologize for that. It's been pretty busy over here. I'll tell you one thing, John. We're probably about 3 to 5 hours away from the onset of snow, and it looks like by morning we could have 6 to 10 inches already down, and we're headed for a total of anywhere from 10 to 15 inches of snow with a sharp cutoff as you go south down toward Rensselaer and Kankakee. I mean, you've got to go pretty far south, but there'll be a heck of an accumulation gradient there. We'll go literally from over a foot of snow up here in the city to perhaps 3-4 inches down in those cities, those locales. So it's a long thing. We could have snow falling over the next 2 days. It appears it's going to come in waves. One commences with nightfall tonight and runs right on through mid-morning tomorrow. So that takes in the morning rush hour. And then there's another pickup later tomorrow and the first half of tomorrow night. It's hard to time these little intensity fluctuations. And it does look like we'll bridge the heavier periods of snow with occasional snow even through the afternoon. So both rush hours tomorrow will be impacted by the snow. And then we could have one more wave on Saturday with indications that particularly Chicago and area south could be swiped by one more Saturday night before this gets out of here. So this is a long-duration, heavy, overrunning situation. But don't be surprised if you see at some point tomorrow the snow slow down or even kind of taper off at times after the morning rush. But I do think we're not going to totally get out of this snow, and we're going to enhance it with some lake moisture later tomorrow and tomorrow night.
What do you think?
That's a big deal.
What do you think that Saturday snow is going to measure up to?
You know, it looks like we'll get another, if I had to pick numbers out, 3 to 4 inches out of that that second wave right there.
Add it all up, Tom, what are we looking at?
Well, I think the 10 to 15 probably brackets the range we're seeing around here, Steve. So
both of them.
Yeah. And that would make this easily the biggest snow we've had in over a year. The only thing comparable to it was 7.8 inches a year ago, December. And so it's been over a year since we've had anything like this in the area. You know, you kind of knew the other shoe had to drop. This is a La Nina winter. They tend to produce more snow and rain than usual. We were not doing that up to this point. The last two systems, it's interesting. Here's a stat that's kind of neat. The last two systems have produced more snow, these little snows on the weekend and early this week, more snow out of those two than we've gotten in the last two Februaries combined. That stat courtesy of my producer, Bill Snyder. But
we went almost all of January and February last year,
yeah,
right, with no snow.
Remember that, Steve? We had a big snow in December, and we all thought with the cold coming on strong and all that the rest of the winter was going to be barbaric, and it actually turned totally around. February, I think, had a trace of snow last year. That was it. It's one of the least snowy Februaries on the books around here, if not the least snowy, as I recall. So, this is it's kind of interesting to backload a winter after these last couple we've had with this kind of snow.
It's a quarter of three, 2:46 right now. So you think the snow starts to come around
onset time,
6 o'clock?
John, is about 6 to 8 o'clock. Yeah, and the radar shows detectable snow crossing the Mississippi right now. This area is coming together fast. And what's happening is we've got a 30-40 mile per hour wind blowing in from with Gulf moisture south of this system and running up over this cool air. That's a tremendous moisture delivery system we've got going. And we're going to set up this overrunning band. On top of that, we're on the backside of a Speedmax in the jet stream, another region where lift is generated and you produce clouds and snow. So we're marrying those two features together to produce this long duration snow around here.
But it sounds like you're talking about a fairly calm storm, right? And we're not talking about a lot of winds.
You are right, Steve. The big thing, you know, when you look at the weather map, this will be what we'd call in the weather profession an inverted trough. Won't be one of these Groundhog Day blizzard type things where you have an L on the weather map and all these concentric rings, the isobars around it. This is not what we're getting out of this. What will happen is we go on tomorrow is we'll get a northeasterly wind to start picking up. But the wind speeds will be in the range of 8 to 18 miles per hour. Look, with falling snow and snow on the ground that will be light and fluffy, you know, that still could create some issues, but it's not going to be like the 70 mile an hour wind that we had coming in the Groundhog Day blizzard 7 years ago.
Well, what's the temperature going to be like? Is this snowball weather?
You know what, John? We're looking at about 12 to 1 ratio snow, which is about what we typically get around here. So there's some packability to that. We're talking about a temperature in the mid to upper 20s tomorrow.
Uh-huh, that's kind of nice. I mean, I don't know. That to me seems to be... Oh, I'll say manageable, but
yeah. That's
because I take the train. I don't have to drive in it. I don't have to shovel too much of it. Tom, is this so? Then just real quick, talk about the lake effect. Is it going to be worse towards the lake, or since it's coming from the other direction, it doesn't matter?
You know what? The county's right up against the lake. Quite honestly, the system itself is going to produce a broad band of snow, and so it'll be kind of transparent to us that we go into some lake enhanced snowfall. Here in the counties adjacent to the lake, I think that's wedded into these numbers I've given you, John.
My folks live in Joliet. I mean, So they're south and west.
They are going to get nailed. But then you go south of there, and the amounts will begin to taper off. So close in southern suburbs,
Mom.
Calumet City, Hammond, Gary, Valparaiso, these areas will all get socked with a good snow. But then if you go farther south, then toward... Rensselaer, Kankakee, across to Morris. Not that it won't snow down there. It's just there won't be the totals that we get up here in the city.
Morris, and Illinois? North. You mean Grundy County out west?
Yeah. I mean, Grundy County will be in on it, you know, but I would think even by then... as you get down to southern Grundy County, that we ought to be getting amounts to start coming down. But having said, it might be an academic point because it still could be pretty messy.
Right, yeah. So lucky them, they only got 5 inches instead of 15.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It.
That's Tom Skilling over at Channel 9, WGN-TV. Are you going to be on with Roe this afternoon?
I am indeed. Yeah, if he'll have me.
Tom, I won't be driving to Iowa.
Yeah, you know something? I'll tell you. I think we are going. You know, John, because you transitioned to Roe and you've heard Roe's comments about these weather situations.
Yeah.
I hope Anna is ready with kid gloves to handle them because Roe needs our help.
Well, he's a basket case anyway. You know, if the economy was good, if the politics were simple and the weather was nice, he's still a handful, Tom.
I know. And you know what? I love working with Ro. It's just like I love working with you guys, you and Steve.
Yeah, but we're low maintenance. I mean, come on.
You
this
are.
This is so
You're
much.
Very easy to you handle. I'll tell you.
I mean, if you had to pick one, Tom, which show is easier and more pleasant to come on?
You know what? I'm not even going down that road. I love all of you guys. I really do. You know, John, it's just great. I was thrilled you're back from Minneapolis.
I am.
You should never have left us, my friend.
Well, that's a long story, Tom, but I'm looking at the Minneapolis right now, and, you know, sometimes their weather gets here.
No.
Ours, it doesn't look like it's going up there. They've got 6 degrees and sunny for the next 3 days.
They're going to be south of it. This is a narrow little, 150, 200-mile across corridor that runs up into southern Wisconsin. Southern Minnesota may get in on some, but south of the Twin Cities. So, and it goes back out into Iowa and up through the Dakotas and into Montana, so it's a little ribbon of snow about 200 miles across and a little wider out west, right on the south flank of this Arctic air mass, the southern extremity of which we've been parked in. And yet, you know, you go south of that, get out to Phoenix and Los Angeles. I mean, out in the west, they wonder where winter has been this year.
Well, let's do this. What time, one more time, you're on with Roe today?
Yeah, we'll be, I haven't heard from Jeff yet as producer on the exact time, but we'll be talking to Judy at the end of the three. If Judy's in today, isn't she, or Steve?
She's in today, but she's already talking about skipping tomorrow.
I'm going to hang up on you.
That's our Judy.
You go back and do what you do, Tom, and we'll listen for you in the 3 o'clock news and later with Roe this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, John. Good to talk to you, and you too, Steve. And oh, brother, that market is something. Wow.
It's a nice segue.
It would be nice if we could ignore them both. Dow is now down 840 points on the day. The Dow is off 840 on the day. It's 255. Elif, where are we? Let's have a good number here. Where are we on my raising money for breast cancer research as I dance with the folks from Arthur Murray?
Your Arthur Murray dance competition bucket is 114% full at $2,858, John.
Amy, did you hear that? This is Amy Kite who got the ball rolling today. Amy, did you hear that?
I know. I have tears in my eyes. I was so excited.
God bless you, Amy Kite. People are good. They just need a nudge sometimes, don't they?
Well, and I appreciate it when I know my money is worth twice as much because I've got somebody who's going to, you know, double it. So I appreciate it when it happens, and I like to be able to do that. That's great.
Now, as I understand it, so we were at like 658. You said you'd throw in 700. If the listeners throw in 700, they threw in about 2,000. But we haven't added your 700 yet. So what is the number?
I did add my 700.
Oh, your 700 is in there?
My 700 is in there. I did put it in there already.
Wow. So what do you have the number in front of you, Elif? Do the number again. Where are we on the Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities bucket total?
$2,858.
God bless you, Amy. You know, this is so great. You have been so generous and so quick with your donation, I might add, that I'm going to go out and buy a couple of houses later today. How does that sound?
There you go. I appreciate it.
If I do, Amy, what number should I call or what website should I go to?
847-877-9881 or amywillsellyourhouse.com.
Is it Amy Will Sell Your House or Amy Will Sell Your Home?
Amy Will Sell Your Home. We've got it at both, actually.
We've got it at both, because I think I usually say Amy Will Sell Your Home. And by the way, the guy that said, get somebody like Amy to do this is on the other phone line. Hey, Lou.
I don't know what you're talking about, but congratulations. And I don't know Amy, but see, it's all about raising money for breast cancer research and helping all these people. And now, John,
yeah,
your only job is to dance well.
Man, we're at 114% of what I wanted to get. 114% of what I was trying to get, thanks to Amy and thanks to Lou. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
Love you.
And Amy Kai, thank you so much, my dear. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, John.
Amy will sellyourhome.com. All of that, by the way, from the folks at Arthur Murray, if you go right now to, let me see what the website or phone number is here. It says here, surprise your wife with a gift certificate for dance lessons at Arthur Murray. Purchase and print your certificate at ChicagoArthurMurray.com. Right now, go to ChicagoArthurMurray.com. 3 o'clock, the Dow is off 974 points. That's 3.9%+. The Dow is off 974. The news, Ro and Anna in 30 seconds. Thank you again, Amy Kai. Thank you, Lou Manfredini. Amy will sellyourhome.com, and she'll raise money for breast cancer research, too. Guys, I'm going to get out of the way. Ro and Anna, you're at the United Center, right?
That's right.
Yes, we are, but that doesn't mean we're not covering the day's events. We've got Aaron Blake standing by from the Washington Post to join us at the end of this press briefing, where the White House press secretary, or
undersecretary, filling in for Sarah Sanders.
He's in for Sarah Sanders, Raj Shah. Has just basically apologized for their dealing with Rob Porter. That means he'll be fired by 5 o'clock Eastern.
Which one, Ro? You talking about Porter or
Porter's already gone.
Porter's gone.
Guy's going to get fired. I think the assistant spokesman is going to get fired for apologizing for showing any amount of weakness.
Right.
I get it. Oh yeah, it's hard to know what the right way to play this is. I mean, I know the right way it is, but in that administration, maybe apologizing is a mistake.
How come a 4-year-old knows what the right thing to do is?
Does this cost John Kelly his job?
Could. Ooh, we'll talk about it. That's
okay,
all coming
have a good show, guys.